The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230, that's 821-1230, to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. I'd like to wish everyone a great morning. It's a beautiful day out there. Certainly get out and enjoy it. It is a little hot, but hey, better that than freezing, right? Today's show is going to be a continuation of last week's show, which is about dental insurance. And basically, it's like dental insurance, wake up, people. And the reason I say that is because, and I'll explain more later, is that dental insurance, I don't think anymore, meets the definition of the word insurance. And for those of you that tuned in last week, you know what I'm talking about, and I'll get to that here in a minute for those of you that didn't. Now, before we do that, we have a little bit of housekeeping, and that is, I'd like to mention that the second annual Dr. Kvitko Golf Classic for the benefit of the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio will be held at Broadview Golf Course on Headley Mill Road in Pataskala on August 23rd at 8 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. You can call the office at 262-9588, and one of my staff members would be happy to take your reservation over the phone. It's $140 for a foursome, which for those of you that have done outings before, you know that's a really fair price, actually kind of low. If you only have two of you, that's fine. Sign up anyway. We'll pair you with another two. Also, one of the prizes that we will be giving away will be a chance to have a back studio tour, a continental breakfast, and a chance to meet Dino Tripodis and Sean Ireland. Now, what I'm doing is any callers to the show today who call in with a question or a guest to our Dr. Kvitko question of the day will be registered for that. At no charge. The raffle tickets are $5, but if you call the show, I'll make the donation in your name to the Central Ohio Down Syndrome Association. All right? So call the office at 262-9588, and someone can get you signed up. Okay. Now, also before we go on, the question of the day, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. In a recent survey of dentists, when dentists were asked, what is your favorite treatment option? What treatment did dentists say most often? And what we're talking about would be, to clarify that, would be things like, do dentists love doing gum surgery, or do they love doing kids more than they love doing extractions, and so on and so forth. So what treatment option do dentists love best of all? Okay, so think about that for a little bit, and we will give the answer and your guesses as the show progresses. The answer will be given later. Okay, so to pick up where we left off last week on insurance, and what prompted me to do this this topic was the fact that there have been several articles in the Dispatch dating back to May, I believe, 26th would have been the first one, Wednesday, if that was a Wednesday. There's maybe 27th, and it was about how United Healthcare had sent a letter, several letters, in fact, 176,000 letters to subscribers of United Healthcare, telling them that pretty soon their doctor was going to be out of network, and they needed and gave them instructions on how to find a new doctor. And and then on May 31st. In a letter to the editor, there was an article, editorial written by the chief executive officer of the Columbus Medical Association, a Mr. Philip H. Cass, C-A-S-S. And, you know, the reason I got interested in this is because you might remember last week I talked about how insurance companies are only in business to make money. They're not there to insure your health, so remember that. The other thing is I think sometimes patients think that, well, my insurance company's denying paying for this or that. It must be my doctor charges too much. It must be because my doctor's charging too much. So I'm okay with them telling him to, you know, work for less. Well, you might remember also that back in the, I want to say, mid-90s, maybe early 90s, there was a company in town called Physicians Health Plan, PHP. And they were sold to United Healthcare. And when that transaction transpired, it was written in the paper that the outgoing CEO of PHP was given $33 million as a golden parachute. $33 million as part of the deal to sell PHP to United Healthcare. Now, $33 million is a lot of money. I mean, you know, I look at it this way. How many different procedures had to be denied? How many patients did not get the care that they needed, the coverage that they were hoping for? How many doctors, how many dentists? I mean, on the dental side, how many, I guess, cleanings would you have to deny to have $33 million worth? Or how many root canals, or how many crowns? Things like them telling people, well, you can't have a tooth-colored crown on your molar because it's considered cosmetic. And yet, none of us, most of us, would not want to smile and see metal back there. But so it makes me wonder why they withhold these amounts, and it also, you know. But then on the other hand, it's kind of easy to see, isn't it? When you figure, I don't know, I've never even seen $1 million, let alone 33, and so it just doesn't add up. So then when United Healthcare started getting written about in town here, it just seemed like a story to be talked more about. So basically, they sent out a letter telling these people, the patients, they're all going to have to find a new doctor. And it didn't say why. It didn't indicate that it was a business dispute between the hospital, which is Ohio Health Hospitals, and United Healthcare. It just says that they won't be able to be seen by that physician. And, you know, it says in here in this editorial that physicians are being viewed by insurers as commodities, cogs in a huge medical machine, instead of as people practicing the art of medicine. And although this article and these stories are about the medical side, it's all appropriate for the dental side as well. So keep in mind, your insurance company, the CEO, the guy that got $33 million, even though he's got $33 million, he can't cure you. He can't do a root canal. He can't get you out of pain. It's only your doctor, it's only your dentist that can do that. And so, rather than people going to their doctor or their dentist and say, why don't you take my insurance, or why aren't you on the list, or you know, why don't you work for these fees, I would recommend that you go to your employer and say, why don't you get us a different insurance company, one that is going to be better at providing the care that we need. Now, why do I think dental insurance doesn't meet the definition of insurance? Is because they only pay $1,000 in 1 year, 1 year's time. And then, good luck trying to get that, because they won't just say, we'll pay the first $1,000 and then you're on your own. That would actually even be better, I think. What they'll do is they'll say, okay, you have $1,000 coming to you. However, we'll pay for your cleaning, for example, and your exam. And they use little terms that I think are misleading. They'll say, we'll pay 100% of this and 100% of that. And there's always some small print. If you look down at the bottom, it'll say up to the scheduled amount. So they're not saying they're going to pay 100% of the bill. They're going to pay 100% of a number that they have come up with. And they have this schedule of fees that they have determined. And in most cases, it's arbitrary or created from lists of fees that they've received from doctors and dentists around the state. However, they don't necessarily use all of the numbers. You know, the old thing how, you know, something like 80% of statistics are made up right on the spot or can be used to say anything. Well, if you want the numbers to be in your favor, it's very easy to do so. You include counties like in Ohio, maybe Meigs County, which is a relatively poor county, and you don't include counties such as Cuyahoga, which is typically one of the more expensive counties. And what that does is it skews the numbers. The other thing that it does, and that's those numbers are used to come up with what's called UCR, usual, customary, and reasonable. The other thing that that happens is when you have dentists and doctors that have signed up to be on a list, and therefore they have accepted a lower fee, what the insurance companies will do is they will incorporate those lower fees as though that were the fee the doctor were actually charging, and that then brings the UCR down for everybody, and it artificially lowers the UCR, which, what does that really mean to you? It means you're going to pay more out of your pocket because your doctor, especially if they're not on one of those contractual arrangements, is going to tell you this service is $80, maybe it's 100% covered by design, but yet it's 100% of a fee schedule. And so if your insurance company has managed to slowly drop that number from, say, 80 down to 68, well, now they're going to pay 68, and you have to pay 12. $12 may not seem like much, but isn't it about 20% of that bill? So, you know, it's dropped by a great percentage. And if you were to examine your own situation and say to yourself, oh, by the way, the amount that the insurance companies are usually asking a doctor or a dentist to absorb in the way of a discount to be on the list is more like 40%. If I look at my fee schedule and I look at the schedule of those plans where you have to be on a list, it's almost exactly 40% less than we charge. All right, now everybody's smarting right now. Gas prices are high. We have the housing problem. We have the, you know, all that negative, people losing jobs and so on. So think for a minute. Just think for a minute. Would you be able to survive on 40% less in 2009 than you are currently earning in 2008? I don't think you have to think very long to realize that the answer would be a big fat no, right? An absolute no. Could not do that. And yet the insurance companies typically ask doctors and dentists to do that on a routine basis. Now remember I said $12. Let's go back for a minute. Let's say it was an $80 fee and now they're paying $65. Let's drop it to the $15 number. And the reason I'm doing that is because that's a magic number for insurance companies. And you might remember me saying how an insurance company has a protocol, which is they will pursue anyone and anything that owes them at least $15. Anything of $15 or more, they will sue, they'll go to collections, they'll do whatever they can. And so if $15 is important to a $50 billion company, and I use $50 billion because that's what UnitedHealthcare brings in premiums in 1 year, if $15 is so important to them that they will sue you, go to collections, do everything, well, how do they expect you, for one, to come up with it? And how about the doctors to give up, you know, not just 15, but hundreds of dollars on certain procedures? Well, it's pretty clear to me you don't get to be a $50 billion company if you don't collect your full fee. Or if you, and so, not that I'm saying I want to be a billion-dollar company, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying that things have been skewed. They're no longer in line with what you would expect dental insurance to cover, because insurance companies paid $1,000 for you as a yearly maximum in 1960, and now it's 48 years later, and they are still, for the most part, paying the same $1,000. So it doesn't make sense. Think about your plan. Feel free to give us a call at 821-1230. I'd like to hear from you if you think your insurance is great, if you think your insurance isn't so great. If you'd like to discuss, if you have specific questions about insurance, especially in the dental realm, be happy to answer them. Don't forget to send in your emails with your guests to our question of the day. You can send that email to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com. We'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Good morning and thanks for joining us. Today we're having a continuation of last week's show, which is about dental insurance and some of the things that come up with medical and dental insurance. And the point is we hope to kind of open people's eyes a little bit about what is really going on. There have been a lot of articles written recently about the contract dispute between UnitedHealthcare and Ohio Health. Ohio Health is a group that owns several hospitals in Columbus, And so it started back in May, like May 26th or so, 26th or 7th. And then on June 1st, there was an article written by Denise Grady from the New York Times. And this happened to just show up at about the same time that we were having the articles about Ohio Health and United Healthcare in Columbus. And basically what it's saying is that women might be rejected for health coverage after having a C-section. And this this woman, Peggy Robertson, was she was turned down because she had given birth by C-section. Having the operation once increases the odds that it will be performed again. And if she became pregnant and needed another cesarean, her insurance company, Golden Rule Insurance, did not want to pay for it. So they sent her a letter that explained that if she had been sterilized after her C-section, or if she were older than 40 and had given birth to two or more years before applying, she might have qualified for coverage. You know, there's a case where insurance companies are essentially, you know, creating a catch-22 for a woman. The patient is the one that loses here. You know, the doctor felt that C-section was appropriate. And there's some debate about whether there's too many C-sections being performed. But the doctors also have to keep in mind there, they have to ensure the health of the baby, ensure the health of the mom. We do live in a litigious society, and so I would assume that some of that has to do with, gee, if I don't follow this step, and this step, I'm going to be sued. And when I when I look, or when I watch the evening news, or I see one of those heartening stories about how this poor person who'd been burned or who'd been maimed in some way, where a team of doctors got together and through a series of, you know, 2 8-hour operations or something, was able to save this person or give them back a quality of life. And you've all seen them. You know, anymore, I think to myself, you know what? Every one of those doctors right now is probably being sued by somebody. And it's sad, but it's probably true. And we hear on the radio, oh, you know, if you've had a heart attack within this many minutes of having taken this drug, you know, call us. And, you know, I'm not saying that if a doctor makes a mistake, an honest, I mean, a true, you know, he botched something, that there shouldn't be a lawsuit. But I think that as a society, we've taken that way too far. And in fact, even in automobile accidents, I don't know if anyone's noticed, but there's no longer such thing as an accident report. It's an incident report. And the nuance there is that now in the state of Ohio, especially when it comes to automobile, there's no such thing as an accident. Meaning, somebody's always at fault. And it's that whole change of thinking to where there has to be somebody to blame. And hopefully, people will understand. So here you have the physicians. And I'll tell you what, dentists, too, are going to be careful. We're going to take x-rays that maybe we... You know what? I won't take a tooth out without an x-ray of it. Why? Because I want to see what I'm getting into. I want to see if there's a tumor attached to that tooth, or if there is a tumor up there where the tooth may not be as important as having that tumor handled. And could I take a tooth out without an x-ray? Probably, especially a front tooth. But will I? No. Why? I want to be sure that I'm not later accused of having practiced, you know, bad care. Essentially, that will keep me out of court, I guess. Now, it's better care for the patient, so the attorneys will probably say, look, what a good job we've done at improving health care. And you know what? There's something to be said for that. However, I think sometimes it gets taken to the extreme. And if we're going to improve the health care, and if the doctors think that this woman is safer having a C-section and the baby is safer, then you can't have the insurance companies later on coming back and saying, oh, we're sorry, we're going to cancel you, or you're not covered if you get pregnant again. It seems like the entities ought to get together and come up with a plan. So the State Department of Insurance, the Bar Association possibly, the malpractice insurance carriers, maybe the state legislature needs to, of all states, or the national legislature needs to get together and figure out a plan that doctors can function and patients can receive care without having to worry about what an insurance company is going to do or say. You know, I have four children, and this does not directly affect us. However, I have my kids are grown, but as soon as that came out of my mouth, I realized that my daughters are childbearing age. My son is soon to be married and plans on having a child right away. And so it affects all of us. We have to think about this for not only ourselves, but our children and our grandchildren. So, we'll get back to this topic. Remember, the question of the day is, when asked, what was their favorite treatment option for dentists? Meaning, what type of dental care did they prefer to provide? Do they prefer extractions? Do they prefer working on children? That sort of thing. The number here is 821-1230. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry But Were Too Numb to Ask. All right, today's topic is a continuation of last week's show, which was about dental insurance, kind of insurance in general, insurance questions. And before I go on, during the break, we had a couple of phone calls of people guessing our question of the day, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And that question is, in a poll of dentists, when asked what treatment option is their favorite treatment to perform, what did they say? Meaning, was it x-rays, cleanings, exams, periodontal surgery, extractions, that kind of thing is the gist of this. And Tashana called in a guess. She thought cleaning teeth would be dentist's favorite, maybe because we do more of that than anything. That is not correct. Kama sent us an email, and she guessed x-rays, and maybe again because those seem to be relatively common procedures. Neither of those is correct, but we do appreciate your guesses. So, now, we were talking about insurance and how it doesn't really cover what you would hope it would, and how it's not improved in the last 48 years as far as dental coverage, and how we have these disputes between doctors and the insurance company, or hospitals and the insurance company. And this New York Times article from June 1st about how insurance companies deny coverage to a woman for childbirth if she's had a C-section, and they put these women into a really bad spot. Now, we have this as a follow-up, and it just so happens that the New York Times article ran on June 1st, and on June 2nd, there was an article written by Suzanne Hoholik of the Columbus Dispatch, and the title says, Insurers Playing Doctor, Docs Say. And what they're saying is it says, when you're sick or injured, you want your doctor to concentrate on making you better and your health insurance company to pay for the bulk of the care that he or she has prescribed. But physicians say they're spending more time trying to convince insurers that a treatment plan is necessary. According to Dr. Neil Nesbitt, a general surgeon in Athens, insurance companies call all of the shots. They decide what they want to pay and what they don't want to pay. So patients either abide by the health plan's decision and forego a treatment or spend more of their own money to follow the doctor's advice. While health insurance companies say they're trying to control spiraling costs, and they say questioning doctor's order is one way to do it, physicians, disagree. And physicians should have to explain, for example, why they write prescriptions above a recommended dose or order expensive MRIs before prescribing physical therapy. On the prescriptions above the recommended dose, here's the deal. The insurance company would write a prescription. In this case, specifically, they're talking about higher than the amount that you would find in the PDR to deal with schizophrenia and other bipolar diseases. Well, in the PDR, which stands for Physician's Desk Reference, and it's this great big, usually red-bound book that lists all the drugs, all the interactions, and everything that a person who's prescribing is going to need to know about that drug and how it interacts with others. And in there is a recommended dose. Well, that was never intended to be the maximum dose. You can it's a recommendation. It's a you can prescribe less as a physician or a dentist. You can prescribe more. But in this particular case, it's United Healthcare again, and I think again it was born out of this same storyline that we have seen unfold here in Columbus. They're saying to the patient, we're sorry, even though your doctor said you need to have 40 tablets or you need to have 15 milligrams, the PDR says 10 and that 30 should be enough. And so they're only paying for 30 tablets at a 10 milligram strength when your doctor says you need 15 milligram strength and you need 40 of them. Well, that's practicing medicine without a license, in my opinion, as well as Dr. Alan Levy, a Columbus psychiatrist, who was quoted in this story. I think if you, apparently not all health plans have this policy. It just happened to be United Healthcare. Does $33 million ring a bell? Anyway, so you have that. I mean, Cigna Healthcare, for example, they ask that the pharmacist notify them when a prescription exceeds a recommended dose. And then the company calls the doctor to ask why. So what they're saying is they're leaving it to the physician and other healthcare professionals to make that call, which I think is a better plan. Now, we talked about the discounts that doctors are expected to give and dentists are expected to give. And keep in mind that, dental insurance is a whole different animal. You only have that $1,000. So although I feel for the physicians, I really do, and patients need to really need to think about that and make sure that they're adequately compensated and switch plans if you need to make sure that they are they have a plan that they can afford to stay in business. Because the last thing that we all want is when we have a need, we're sick or we're injured. I guess I made a new word of sick and injured. If you're sick or injured, I guess fish get ick, right? You want to be able to call your doctor. You want to be able to go there. You need them to be there. We need to make sure that we have a vital healthcare system in this country. And you can't do that by asking doctors and dentists to work at 40% of what it takes to pay their bills. When foreign dignitaries need medical care, what do? They come to the United States. We have the best medical and dental healthcare system in the world. And because of that, we need to, appreciate it. We need to kind of stick up for our doctors when the insurance companies are putting pressure on them. Stick up for your dentist. Don't just change dentists because all of a sudden your dentist isn't on your plan. There's a reason that he's not on your plan or she's not on your plan. And I bet if you talk to them, they'll give you a very good explanation. And if you were in that same situation, you probably would make the same choice as your doctor or dentist is doing. We're going to continue this conversation, but before we go to the break, I wanted to mention again the golf outing that we're having in the fall, August 23rd. It's to the benefit of the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. And call the office at 262-9588 so that my staff can get you signed up. Also, if you have questions or comments, give us a call at 821-1230. That's 821-1230 here on Talk 1230 WYPTS. We will be right back after this message.
Take a smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. And today we're talking about dental insurance. And before I forget, let me tell you that today's show and all of our shows are available by podcast by going to www.talk1230wyts.com. Once you're there, hold the mouse over the on-air icon. A drop-down box appears. Choose Dr. Kavitko. Takes you to my page, and in the middle of that page, underneath the smile, are the words Go to Podcast page. You click on that, and once there, you'll have your choice of several shows. I think there might be 16 or 17 up there, and they're all titled. If you can choose your topic, just click on the Listen button. There's nothing to download, nothing to do other than click on Listen. Okay. And then, while we were gone, we took a couple phone calls of guesses for our Dr. Kvitko question of the day. And in a poll of dentists, when asked what treatment option is their favorite to provide, the answer is, or was, rather the guesses are, Steve from Upper Arlington called in extractions, that our favorite procedure to provide to people is extractions. That's not correct. Lynn from Grove City called in a guess of sedation. Sedation dentistry, she thought, would be our favorite. That is not correct either. We'll give the answer here soon, right before our next break. We'll give the answer. Before I continue to talk about the insurance and the how bad dental insurance is and everything, let me just go back. I do want to go on record as saying, and I've been on record already, but I want to reiterate, I think, for the most part, insurance companies are great. We need insurance companies. Where would we be without them? Think about it. Your car wreck, your house catches fire, flooding. I mean, I don't know where this country would be without insurance companies. So they definitely serve a need, serve a purpose, and it's a great thing that it's been developed over the years. What my purpose is in my comments is to point out that, at least in the way or the realm of dental insurance, it has been allowed to get way out of skew with what you would expect, because after all, it's been 48 years since the yearly maximum has been raised. And so people come to us dentists, and say, hey, how come my insurance doesn't cover so much? You must be charging too much. And it's, no, it's your insurance company hasn't kept up. So ask, call your benefits person, call your insurance company, say, why is that? Why haven't you raised the premiums? I mean, not the premiums, but the benefits. I'm sure they've raised the premiums in 48 years, the amount that we pay or your employer pays. Okay. So, I do want to talk a little bit about the different kinds of plans out there. You have preferred provider, you have capitation, and then you have fee for service. Okay, and then there's welfare, which works even different than that. It's similar to one, but it's a little bit different. Now, welfare these days is not called welfare like it used to be. It's called CareSource, and there's Assure, or there's one other name for it, but it's still administered by the state or the federal government, and it's still basically welfare. And the way welfare works, we'll cover that one first, is the government has said, and you know what, let me start by saying, I've talked to the welfare folks. I said, why is the reimbursement level so bad? Why don't you pay for crowns? Why don't you pay for this? The answer I got was, welfare was not designed to keep people... to be dental insurance, is the way they said. It's designed to keep people at a baseline minimal level of health until they can get on their feet, get a job, and no longer need welfare. And unfortunately, what's happened is a lot of people have learned to live on welfare. They stay on it for many, many more months or years than was ever intended when the system was first introduced into Congress, I believe, in 65. And so that helps me understand why the reimbursement levels are so low. But essentially here, I did when I had a welfare provider number back in the 80s, and I no longer actually do welfare care. I will take care of people in need. I do some gratis work, that sort of thing. But I'd rather just do it and have a nice warm glow inside than have somebody think that I'm getting paid for the work that I'm doing for them when I'm not. So, you know, I did a extraction, I think I did a filling or two, whatever it was, it added up to about $160 to $170, and it took 6 months for me to get a check, and what I got was $6. And I was expected to accept that as payment in full. I was not allowed to go back to the patient and say, you owe me the rest. Well, that's welfare. So welfare is probably the worst dental insurance plan out there. But, so we have, just so that you know that, and those people that are on welfare, you know that it is temporary. You know that you're not going to be able to get full care. You're not going to be able to get crowns and bridges and things. But the point is the welfare system is designed to keep you comfortable, keep you out of pain until you can get back on your feet. And so when we understand that, it's not that big of a deal. The other one, we talked a little bit last week about capitation. Capitation is where a dentist is given so much money per person or per family, per capita, if you will, and they're given that money every month whether they actually see these people or not. And because of that, what happens is the dentist receives this money, and then if you come in, they're expected to work on you for no additional monies. So they tend to give dentists so many patients, like thousands of them, that they can't really afford to stay in business if they do nothing but these capitation folks. So there, the incentive is to maybe not treat, not notice that you have problems. We do need to take a break. There's one more we'll talk about, which is the preferred provider option when we return. You're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Good morning. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and today we are talking about dental insurance and how dental insurance, maybe in my opinion, shouldn't even be called insurance anymore because the yearly maximum hasn't been raised in 48 years. Now, we talked about the way the welfare system works. We talked about how capitation works. And now the preferred provider. Now, the preferred provider essentially is being in the network. And if a dentist signs up to be in the network, they essentially are agreeing to work for about, 40% or so of their normal fee. And so you have to figure, if they're asked to do that, they have to come up with a way to make that work. Now, I have chosen not to be on anyone's list. And the reason is I just want to do a good job for people. I want you to get excellent care in a comfortable manner, kind and caring, and I just don't take shortcuts. And you can't afford to do that if you're going to be on one of those lists. Excuse me. So, and the word is deceiving. Preferred provider. Who prefers that provider? The insurance company. There's no test to be on the list. There's nothing that says you have to be in the top 100 dentists in your area, or there is no test. It's anyone willing to be on the list is on the list, and that's that. Now, let me just give you a little scenario. Let's use some real numbers that they're old numbers, but they work for my description. The if you come to my office, and I'm making up. These are, like I said, years ago. Okay, so let's say you come to my office and there's a procedure that we charge $200 for. Maybe it's a cleaning, exam, x-rays. I don't know. Let's just say whatever. Well, no, let's say it's the cleaning, exam, x-ray. And when you come to my office, we give our hygienists however long they need. Let's say an hour. But if they need more, they get more. Well, in an hour's time, we then, for that service, the office would earn $200. If you go to somebody on the list, here's what you typically will find. They might charge $150 for that, or if you use that 40%, it'd even be less. But they tell their hygienist, you get 30 minutes to greet the patient, seat the patient, take their x-rays, clean their teeth, chart decay, check for gum disease, and leave 5 minutes for the doctor to check. And you have to clean the teeth and polish the teeth in that same 30 minutes. And the reality is you can't do it in 30 minutes. And when asked, one of my hygienists who used to work at one of those offices asked, what if I can't get the teeth clean? They said, don't worry about it, you'll get it next time. Well, you can't get it next time because it's going to be more next time than today if you only have 30 minutes next time also. And but that office, remember I said only charges $150? But they do two in an hour, so they earn $300 in that hour. They earn $100 more than my office does, and we're providing good care, excellent care, and the people on the list oftentimes are not getting the same care or the care that they think they are. It's always the patient who loses when there are discounts involved, and I hate to say that, but it is. Okay, so really give some thought to looking at your insurance, talk to your employer, call your insurance company, say, hey, why not raise the yearly max? It's been so, and honestly, it should be about $8,000. So call them and say, raise my yearly max to $8,000, and I'll be happy. Before we have to end the show for the day, I want to give out the answer to the question of the day. And that is, cosmetic dentistry is the treatment option that dentists love to do most. Also on that list were implants, Invisalign, and sedation. So when Lynn called in a sedation guest, she was pretty close because it was one of the top four. Why would we want to do that? Look at those four. Cosmetic dentistry, implants, Invisalign, and sedation. I think it's because those are the treatment plans that people love to have done. It makes people happy. It makes them less afraid. It makes them smile. And that's what I'm all about, is making people smile and improving lives one smile at a time. So thank you for tuning in. Feel free to go to the podcast at www.talk1230wyts.com, and we will see you next week. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 with Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week.